and the last in the series, Principles of Increase, Spiritual Increase. And I want us tonight to look at Daniel. And I shall read, first of all, from chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and verse 8. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favoured, and skilful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily portion of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Verse 8, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In chapter 9, we might also look at just one verse in chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, and sackcloth, and ashes. Verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. 70 weeks, or 77s, 490, are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgressions and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, or 7 sevenths, and 62 weeks, or 7. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, or 7, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, or 1 7, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In chapter 10 and verse 19, we have this remarkable word concerning Daniel, O man greatly beloved. And that is an expression out of the heart of God for this man Daniel. Thou art greatly beloved is another. Chapter 9 and verse 23. There are three such expressions, and there must be great reason for such high praise from God. God does not waste words on sentimental gushing. There was and must have been a certain delight in Daniel, which only spiritual maturity could produce. And this, whatever it was in Daniel, it should be our aim to possess it. We hear a good deal these days about youth problems today. Much of the problem of our young people is blamed on environment and conditions of existence, and no doubt they are very difficult. But sometimes these things are made an excuse for very poor behavior. But look at the environment of Daniel when he was but 12 years of age. He was taken captive away from his father's house and away from all the good godly influence of that house. And he was carried in captivity to a heathenish country, Babylon. But in these tender years, he represented the new life that we have in Christ. He was a real believer as a young person, as a child. And that life of his was one of total commitment to the Lord. Not a commitment to a cause, not a commitment to an organization or to a work, but a commitment to the Lord. And it was said of Daniel that an excellent spirit was in him. Chapter 5 and verse 12. Now most believers have some appreciation in their spirit for God's redeeming love. Every true born again believer can say, he loved me and gave himself for me. He has been pleased to save me. But David went much further than just an initial act of believing. And he made a total commitment to the Lord, and that in a very early age. There was in him a real appreciation, not only of the love of God that could save him, but for the great purpose of God in saving him. An appreciation of his high calling, as Paul would call it, and of what the Lord wanted him to be, and how he could fit into God's plan and purpose for his life, and how he could function in God's scheme of things. Now, this is a great matter. It is a tremendous thing to see one of the greatest angels battling through hostile forces in order to bring to Daniel God's message, at least God's estimate of him, and to let him know that he was greatly beloved. That was a tremendous thing, and that is something to covet. Heaven's satisfaction with us, and that is something more than just our initial believing. It represents spiritual growth and increase and development. And we want to see what were the main features that brought Daniel in this high praise from heaven and brought him into such spiritual maturity and such spiritual increase. Well, I think undoubtedly the first thing was his purposeful resolve in chapter 1 and verse 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And that right at the beginning of his spiritual life and history, He would not imperil that development. The development of that life with God. That life in God. His principal objective in life was not good food, or dress, or amusement, or sports, or having fun, but the cultivation of a secret life with the Lord, the development of his spiritual life. Now, that means to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. The highest aim of life, I tell you, is to become a spiritual man. A spiritual man, no matter what circumstances may impose upon us. Now, Daniel was placed in the most disadvantaged environment possible. He was a captive. He was a captive to the first great Gentile world ruler, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. And some of these world rulers could be awfully cruel. And because he manifested, together with other Hebrew young people, because he manifested superior wisdom, he, together with a few other of these Hebrew captives, were chosen by Nebuchadnezzar and separated for special training, and that they be given certain privileges. Now, many would sell their souls to gain such favor from such a mighty monarch, but not Daniel. He represented the new life that we have in the Lord, in Christ, and a new life that comes to us through believing and through committal to him. And that life reacts against all heathenish practices. And Daniel did just that. He would not defile himself with the king's meat, which was probably offered to idols, and the drink was probably pretty strong. Now, he stood against everything that would harm or spoil or impede or destroy his spiritual life in the Lord. He would not allow any fleshly indulgence to do that. He would not permit any compromise with idolatry to do that. He would not allow anything to smother his life with the Lord, nor rub the beauty off his spirit, nor blind his vision to the things of God. Come wind or weather, come the king's displeasure and persecution and even death, he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now that is how to grow up, and how to become a man of spiritual increase. That is utter dependence upon the Lord. And that is the substance of a life of faith. And Daniel was quite willing to have his spirit put to the test, to prove that a developing spiritual life is superior to anything that the heathen world can produce. Now, Babylon can never make any man what the Spirit of God can make him. So Daniel was unafraid in this, and he said, well, try us, he said to the one in charge of these young folk. Try us. Put us to the test. And very, very soon, it was proved that spiritual life in Daniel and his friends was 10 times wiser than anything that was found among the young people of Babylon. Now, that is the first principle. It is purposeful resolve by the help of the Spirit of God not to defile ourselves, but to keep ourselves pure and to keep ourselves uncompromising in a world which builds without any reference to God, which is really a heathen world around us. That's the first great principle, a purposeful resolve. Then you see The second great principle, in his constant prayerfulness. I read to you chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, that is, a certain document that the governing bodies had concocted that forbade anybody to pray. Now we read, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks to God, and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. And you know that the decree that was signed consigned anybody who contradicted this decree, or went against this decree, consigned them to the den of lions. But Daniel continued, as he always had done, to kneel upon his knees and to pray to the living God 3 times a day. Now, Daniel's prayers, well, you can depend upon it, that Daniel's prayers were not mere recitation and not mere repetition, but they were heaven-affecting prayers, prayers that moved the heart of God, prayers that opened the way for God to work. His prayers got through to God, as we say. His prayers touched the throne of God. His prayers were not limited to his own needs. They touched the whole spiritual fiber of this world. And they set angels in motion to work out God's purposes. I mean, Daniel's prayers did this. His prayers put heaven on the move. And Satan was so furious about Daniel's power in prayer that to resist the effect of such prayers, he fought with Michael, a guardian angel of national Israel, and he fought him 21 days in order to try to prevent the answer to Daniel's prayer coming to him. Now you see, from that incident that we're up against, a powerful and malignant opposition to thwart the purposes of God. And Daniel's prayers were to get through to the place where heaven's rule could predominate in any situation. So here is Daniel, surrounded by all the world of Babylon and all that Babylon represented of heathenism and tremendous pressures and subtle conspiracies and ungodly devices, but Daniel kneeled on his knees 3 times a day. So we read in chapter 5 and verse 28, Daniel prospered. Can you wonder when he prayed so much? I remember the principal of our old Bible school at Cliff College in England. I never forget a sentence or two that he had, and it was this: no prayer, no blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. And Daniel was a man of constant prayer. You see, he was not pulling wires in Babylon for his own exaltation. He was not cozying up to Babylon's great monarch, but he was drawing near to God in the power of prayer. And would to God we could learn more of that lesson. Daniel was never cold or dry in his prayers. He was never narrow-minded in his prayers. He was never mentally dull in his prayers. He took the whole world seen within him to prayer. And he affected great matters of state with his prayers. Daniel carefully and thoroughly prayed over every matter. And this is another important principle in our spiritual growth. Oh, to have Daniel constancy in prayer, to kneel upon our knee 3 times a day and bring the whole world to God. Now, the third great principle is understanding God's word. As we read in chapter 9 and verse 2, in the first year of his reign, that was Darius, the Mede, who followed the empire of the Medes and Persians, followed the downfall of Babylon. And Daniel was still a great man, still president, even though the changeover in government. And at this time, this double empire of Medes and Persians, the Medes were stronger than the Persians later on. The Persians were stronger than the Medes in it. But in the first year of Darius, we read, the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I understood from the books, that is from the scriptures, the books of scripture. He was a great student of the word of God. And from his study, he understood God's great purpose for his people Israel. And he understood what Jeremiah meant by the 70 weeks, or 77, as it should read, or 490 prophetic years. You know, God has always dealt with Israel in periods of 490. Right from the call of Abraham, God has dealt with Israel in periods of 490 years. And this was probably the fourth one. And Daniel explains this 70 times 7, 490. That, he says, from the going forth of the decree by Artaxerxes, in Nehemiah chapter 2, to the restoration of the city of Jerusalem, the building of the walls and the building up of the city, would be 7 times 7, or 49 years. 7 times 7, 7 weeks, as it is said. Then there would be 62 more weeks, when Messiah would be cut off. That is 62 plus the former 7, that's 69 sevens, or 483 years, that from the time of Artaxerxes' decree until the cutting off of Messiah, that is his crucifixion, would be 483 years, and it was so accomplished to the very day. To the very day. And then, because Israel had crucified their Messiah and did not receive him as their king, then Israel were to be put aside. And there comes a gap in the prophetic program. And with Israel being put aside after their rejection of the Lord Jesus as their Messiah, then the church age came in. And when the church age is completed, and the church gathered out, then Daniel says that God is going to complete that 490 years. He is going to deal with Israel again as a special nation. And there is 1 week or 1 7 of years which has to be completed before the coming of the Lord to the earth. And in his coming, rescue Israel from the crushing pressure of the Gentile nations. God has not cast off Israel forever. He is going to come, and he's going to come for them as the sun that riseth with healing in his wings. He's coming for their recovery, for their regeneration. And the day will come when Israel will look on him whom they have feared. And when they shall see, when, as Daniel says, that there shall be an end of transgression, there shall be reconciliation for iniquity, and there will be the bringing in of everlasting righteousness, that is, the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Daniel understood all this, and understood that during that final 7 weeks, that Israel would make a covenant at the beginning of that 7 years. Israel would make a covenant with the beast of Rome, with the head of the 10 nations which emerge out of the Roman Empire. The last phase of Gentile world dominion, but halfway through that 7 years, that this head of the Roman Empire will break that covenant and stop all religious worship by the Jews and set up in the temple which they have built an image of himself. Just what the first Gentile did, Nebuchadnezzar. He set up an image of himself and commanded all men to fall down and worship. That's why the 3 Hebrew rules were put into the fiery furnace, because they wouldn't do it. And that is what the last great Gentile world ruler is going to do. He's going to put an image of himself in the temple of God. That's the abomination of desolation. And with that, a tremendous persecution of the Jews during the last 3.5 years, known in Scripture as Jacob's trouble. And at the end of that 3.5 years, the Lord will come for their rescue, because by that time, Israel will be ready for their great national repentance, as is spoken of in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Yes, that is Israel's national repentance. Now it is impossible to come to any measure of spiritual increase without a study of the Scriptures. Daniel understood from the books. He understood by Bible study. He knew more about Jeremiah, you see, than most people know today. He understood Jeremiah. And he understood Jeremiah's prophecy about the 70 times 7. Now, it is impossible, I say, to come to any measure of spiritual maturity without Bible study. God speaks to us, but he speaks to us not in dream and vision now, but he speaks through his word, which he has caused to be written. The Bible is the word of God. It's not a book of fables and not a book of genealogies, but it's the living word of God, fixed, eternal, and divine, the only book of truth in this untrue world. And because it is God's book, first of all, we are not to neglect it. We are to read it, and we are to read it every day. Of all men's buried talents, none will weigh them down so heavily as a neglected Bible. You have time for eating, time for drinking, time for sleeping, time for making money, and time for spending money. And time to read newspapers. My, how we should give time to the reading of God's holy word. Secondly, we are to read it with deep reverence. We are to read God's message. We are reading God's message to your soul. We are to study it. Our feet stand upon holy ground when we open our Bibles. Thirdly, we are to read it with fervent prayer, that God the Holy Spirit, who inspired them to write it, will help us to understand it. Daniel did. He had understanding of books, he said. He understood. I wonder how many of us understand Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, or some of the minor prophets, but Daniel understood. Understood. You know, there is a sacred light in the Word of God, but there is a veil over the eyes of men by nature, and only the removal of that veil by the Holy Spirit can enable us to read and to understand. And fourthly, we are to read it and prize it more and more. You are traveling in the wilderness. This is your guide. You are voyaging through stormy seas. This is your compass. You are toiling over weary roads. This is your staff. You're in a wilderness of hunger and thirst. This is your food and drink from it. You cannot know its riches unless you give yourselves to serious study. But there are not many like Daniel in this generation. Nothing can equal the giants of former generations, giants in God's Word. But it's one of the greatest principles of spiritual growth and development to become a serious Bible student, to study the Scriptures. That was Daniel's third great principle. The fourth great principle was his persistent ongoing, his persistent perseverance. As we read in chapter 10, in chapter 10 and verses 2 and 3, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were accomplished. What persistence! What persistence! And the angel said to him in verse 12, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst seek thine heart to understand." You see, there was a day when he began, and he set his heart to seek the Lord, and he persisted. Oh, what perseverance, what perseverance. And here, here is one instance in which Daniel sought the mind of the Lord for 21 days. Is persistent. So many of our spiritual desires are just whims and fancies for a moment, like chasing night shadows. They're just shadows which come and go. The Lord told a parable of a certain man who had a visitor come, and he went to his friend, and his friend had retired for the night. But he said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And he knocked, and he knocked, and he knocked, until he got them. And the Lord also told the parable of an unjust judge. Because of a widow that wearied him by her petition. Now the Lord is not like the unjust judge, but the parable is to teach his persistence at this woman. She persisted until she got what she wanted. This is to teach us persistence. And our spiritual ongoing must be a very persistent thing. There must be perseverance if we are going to come to God's full end. Now with Daniel, there is no fleshly desire. There was no distraction. There were no secondary things. He just persisted in seeking the blessing of the Lord. Now it is persistence, perseverance in the ways of God which build up ourselves. "I have strengthened," said Daniel. "Thou hast strengthened me. I was made strong in the Lord and in the power of thy might. I have strengthened," said Daniel. And he was the master of Babylon. He mastered it. He ruled it. Daniel was a testimony to the strength of God in a pagan atmosphere, a pagan world. The Lord's people are a few people, but there are few spirits who are strong in the Lord.
Because within us, there is a weak and deceitful nature. And without it, there is a world that has no love for God's truth or of God's people. And near us, there is a busy devil who has been tempting people for 6,000 years and knows how to tempt them. And around us, there is all the cares of life and everything that presses in upon us. How much we need to be strong. And to be persistent, we can only be strong as we persist in our spiritual life. Persistent on them. Persevere. Daniel is one of the greatest men who ever stood upon the face of the earth. A remarkable character. And who had the worst of all beginnings, a captive boy, taken from his home into the far country. But these are the principles by which he grew into such spiritual strength, such spiritual manhood. First of all, a purposeful resolve. He would not defile himself. Constant prayerfulness, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day. A real student of the Word of God, he understood from the books that Jeremiah, and a persistent ongoing, which brought him spiritual strength, which added to his strength all the time, as he went on and on with the Lord, and had answered to him, to give yourself wholly to the Lord, embrace these principles and find the same strength that Daniel found until he lived the at last. The heavens shall speak to us and God shall send his approbation. What a wonderful thing it would be if God could say to us as he said to Daniel, oh Daniel, greatly beloved. To say, thou art greatly beloved. What an epitaph to our life. May we have it for God's glory and our good. Amen.